Blog Talk Radio.
It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It is always an honor and a privilege to go before the people of God as we expound on the word of God. The word of God is where we hear God speaking to us. The word of God is our strength, our rock, our sword, our shield. The word of God is where our success lies. The word of God strengthens us. The word of God carries us over. It protects us from danger seen and unseen. The word of God is our moral compass for our daily living. And I thank God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the word. Well, again, I say good evening to everyone. And I'm so glad that God has allowed us to assemble together one more time to fellowship in his word, one with another, the body of Christ. And if there's anyone on the line who don't know Jesus and the pardon of their sins, encourage you to give your heart to Jesus, to submit your will unto God. And anything that's in your life that you think is not right, don't try to sit down and fix it. Bring it to Jesus, and he'll work it out. So I thank God for all of you. Well, tonight, the title of our lesson is God Uses Our Stories, hallelujah, for his glory. God uses our glory for his story. And we're going to come from the book of John. John is the last gospel of the gospels of Jesus Christ, the last book of the gospels of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to be in the 9th chapter, and we're going to expound on verses 1-5. And as always, we play a song, and then we come back to explore and expound on the word of God together. And then we'll have prayer. So the song I'm going to play, I thought was appropriate for tonight. The title of the song is You Don't Know My Story.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
You don't know my story.
You don't know
the things.
You don't know the things that I come through.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
At my lowest.
You
cannot
imagine
the strongholds and the walls that you
face. But God has been faithful.
God has been faithful to me.
He promised.
For no more shall the shackles condemn me.
my deliverance.
And deliver us.
What I want to share is my testimony.
You don't know.
Somebody needs to know my story.
It would blow your mind.
Can I get a witness?
You don't know
my story.
My story.
And it's through my testimony. Thank you for bringing me out. You think you know, but let me tell it.
Life and favor.
God, thank you for your mercy.
God of mercy.
And you love me. Life and favor.
Life and favor upon me.
Oh, how wondrous.
Oh, how wondrous.
God, it's my story.
Upon me.
You wouldn't believe my real testimony. Can't imagine. Some people, they walked out on me and they gave up on me, said I wouldn't make it, but God broke me out.
All the things I've gone through.
If you only knew, you'd understand why I praise like this. Come on, can we take it up?
I'm delivered.
I'm delivered.
Here is my story.
And that song was, You Do Not Know My Story. Really, I'm probably doing better than I should. You just don't know my story. And all of us have a story. And for those that just came on, the title of the lesson is God Uses Our Stories for His glory. And we're in John, the book of John, the gospel, and we're going to expound on the first five verses. And now it's time to pray, to go to God's throne of grace in prayer. The opportunities afforded to you that are on the line, if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, our healer, our deliverer, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. God, you are our everything. God, right now I want to just thank you for your Son, Jesus, your Holy Spirit, which you allow to indwell in us. Lord, I want to thank you that you could use our stories for your glory. Lord, I pray that I speak the words that the Holy Ghost want revealed to the people on tonight. I realize I can only give information, but the Holy Ghost give illumination and revelation. I submit to the power of the Holy Ghost to be used as a vessel, realizing that I'm only made of clay, brittle, easily broken. But I'm standing in position, dear God, to be used by you. I hope that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, I'm asking a special blessing of everyone that is called in on this line. Lord, I'm asking that you take a little visit at the prayer list that we have, that we use and call up the names of those who have asked for prayer. Lord, I pray that all of the people that's waiting for their loved ones under the rubbish in Florida, I pray that you give them comfort in a time of need. Lord, I pray for all the mothers out there, dear God, that children are being killed on the street, dear God. And I pray for the mothers whose child is doing these acts because they are lost as well. Lord, I pray for the homeless that's under the bridge. I pray for the mother that's worried about her child. I pray for the men in prison, dear God. And I ask if there's anyone there that is innocent, that you let the truth be told. God, I pray for someone that's hungry tonight. I pray for someone who don't know what their next move is going to be. I pray for everybody, dear God, because everybody needs you. And Lord, I'm just asking you to give your people the desires of their heart. Give them the things that they need, dear God. Give them everything that would help them to live a righteous life. Mold them, shape them, arrange them, and rearrange them into the intended purpose that you designed for them before the foundation of the world. And God, we're going to be so careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory because you're worthy. And all of this I ask in Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Well, starting our lesson, and before I do, I always do a background. The background is going to really, I'm going to illuminate and give you insight on the life that God used for his glory. And I pray that when I finish with the introduction, the illumination of a life and how God used it for his glory, could give you a better understanding how the hand of God works in and through his people. We have to realize, and I'm starting right now, and I'm going to start off with a scripture from the book of Isaiah 43:7. It says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. God saying that everything he made and created was for his glory. So there's no guessing in that. That's the word of God. That's not Diane. God said everyone he created him for his glory. So with that being said, and we have that, I want to give you an illustration of a life. But before I get to that, I want to let you know it is never what we're going through, but who we go through it with. God has the power to help us deal with it, no matter what it is, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how hard it feels, God has the power to help us deal with it. And we could always rely on that where God guides, he also provides. You see, God has a master plan for all of his glory, how he's going to get it, how he's going to achieve it. And he created us for that reason. You see, Philippians 2:13 say, for it is God which worketh in you to will and to do his good pleasures. That lets us know that God is working in us, that we could perform and give him the glory that belongs to him. It's all about God, y'all. It's all about God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. God said it's him that worketh in us, both to will and to do his good pleasures, for him to do. You see, I'm going to talk a little while about a life that I could see that God, how God's hand operated in the life of our dear brother Moses. You see, when Moses was born, he was born a Jew. And he was born in Egypt. And the Jews were enslaved. Y'all know the story. Joseph came to Egypt. Joseph was able to become high rank. And Joseph was the only place that had food in the world almost. Because there was a great famine. Joseph brought his family. His family stayed there. The king found favor in him. That particular king died. They made the Jews slaves. During that time, Moses was born. And you see, with information about a coming Savior, the king got a whiff that they were teaching and preaching and talking about God was going to send a Savior. When the king got a whiff of this, he ordered all the Jewish boys under the age of 2 to be killed. And you see, he picked this amount because, you know, he just wanted to make sure he would get him. You see, and Moses was born. It was designed that he had to be killed. The midwives was to operate with the king, and any time a Jewish boy was born, he was supposed to be killed. But when Moses looked at her son, she knew he was special. Now, you see, she was probably instructed by the Holy Spirit, you understand. She knew that he was special and placed him in a basket, then placed him in a Nile River to escape from being killed by the king. You see, this lets us know we should never despise small beginnings. Look in your life and you might be ready to start something, but you got to start small. Where you start has nothing to do with when you finish. So again, tonight I tell you, never despise small beginnings. You see, Moses lived to be 120. His life had 3 40-year spans, 40, 80, 120. Now watch this. Each span was necessary for God's glory. You see, in the first 40 years, Pharaoh's daughter retrieved him from the river where his mother had put him to escape death. She rather see him float down the river and have hope and possibility for him than to have him being killed or taken out of her arms. So she put him in the Nile River with aspiration and didn't know how it would turn up. But he was retrieved from the river by Pharaoh's daughter. She adopted him as a son, and he lived in the king's palace. Come on, y'all, look at God. Moses had access to the best of everything in Egypt, being part of the royal family. Come on, y'all, look at God. Being part of the royal family. You see, if he rolled out in a chariot, the people on the street had to bow down. Moses was highly favored. Moses had servants always at his beck and call. Some of this may have gone to his head. And maybe he began to think more of himself than he should have. Now, we don't have writing with this, but you know all of that primping and pampering and being in charge and living high, you know, you begin to feel it, is the point that I'm trying to make. You see, and when it came to education, he had the best education offered to anyone. And he also had the finest tutors available in the land. You see, the overall effect of what he learned filled him with knowledge and understanding that God would be able to use for his glory. Come on, y'all. Moses always knew he was a Jew, even though he was raised as an Egyptian. And when the Egyptian taskmaster was beating a Jewish slave, Moses killed him and had to free for his own life now. You see, now a murderer, God plan. Even after he murdered the man, God's plan was still working it out for his good. Why? God had a master plan for Moses before the foundation of the world. Come on, y'all. God don't begin to think what he want of us when we make 60. It's before we enter our mother's womb. It's even before we became a seed in our father's groins. And God knows everything, so keep that in mind when you think about your story for God's glory. Now, Moses was a murderer, but God was still working it out for his good. And from this, we see God doesn't allow your past to dictate your future. This lets us know it's not all predicated on what we do, how we do, why we do it. It's all about God's glory. And God creates your story to achieve his glory. You see, the second 40 years, Moses fled to the land of Midian, where he began to intervene again. He intervened in the first 40 years on behalf of the Hebrew slave. The second 40 years, he intervened. But you see, this time, rescuing the daughter of Jethro from some bandits. In gratitude, Jethro granted his daughter, Zipporah, to Moses to marry. Moses lived in Midian for 40 years as a shepherd. You got to know the occupation of a shepherd wasn't very desirable. All the fame and riches at this time with Moses was gone. And Moses is now out of Egypt, but now God has to get the Egypt out of Moses. Moses is shepherding the sheep, and he gains humility and much compassion. You see, God is working in him as he's working in us. He got him to a place where God knows now he's ready to be used for his glory. God appeared to Moses in a burning bush to get his attention. God spoke these words. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, for thou may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt, for I have heard their cries. The people was asking God to deliver them for all of those years, y'all. God had a plan before they even got to Egypt, before they was even slaves. Come on, y'all, before the famine. Before Joseph got there, God knew they would become enslaved, and he had a master plan. And in that plan, before the foundation of the world, he chose Moses to be the deliverer of the people. But God, when he went to Moses, Moses found every excuse he could think of not to go. How many of us do that? When God say go left, you want to go right. When you want to, God say come up and you want to stay down. Moses used every excuse he could find. He told him, I don't speak well enough. I'm not elegant. I'm going to go to the people, and the people ain't going to want to listen. God said, but God assured him, come on, you, I'll be with you. Moses agreed by faith. And here we see that where God guides, he also provides. And he uses our stories, things God said, no, you can't speak, but look, you got a brother, Aaron. I'm going to make Aaron a priest and let him be your spokesperson. You see, whatever you need, God got it. And then there's the third 40 years. You see, God let Moses know that the men who had sought him in Egypt, because you see, back then, if you lived by the sword, you had to die by the sword. Moses got out of Egypt. He stayed in Midian for 40 years, and God come to him now. Come on, y'all. He said, the men that sought you in Egypt are all dead. Moses goes and do what God asked him to do. He defeat Pharaoh. He get the children of Israel out of Egypt. He start the journey towards the promised land that God has promised his forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He leaves Egypt with over 2 million people, y'all. I don't know if you ever thought about how many people Moses started the journey to the wilderness with. When he left, it was over 2 million people he had to leave. He had to lead. And all of us know God had to be with him. But God told him, I'm going to be with you. And Moses believed it. Moses walked out on faith. And now they're traveling in the wilderness. And, you know, they get to the Red Sea. With nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. And the people start complaining and murmuring against Moses. Now, they cried to be freed. He got them free. First obstacle comes. They mumble and grumble towards him. Oh, but God. God stepped in and parted the Red Sea, and the children crossed over on dry land. You see, now they're in the wilderness, and it was supposed to be a about 7 to 11 day journey to get to the promised land. But it took them 40 years of wandering in the wilderness because of their disobedience. You see, God used all of Moses' life experiences, Moses' story, for God's glory. And he guided him every step of the way. And see, we got to remember, if God be for you, who can be against you? God never left him or forsaken him. And that's how God is with us. You see, Moses bring them to the edge of the promised land, but was not able to enter because of disobedience. It is said that Moses was buried with the hands of God. And until this day, his grave have not been found. Honor and glory. You see, he wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. And his legacy live on here, on earth, and is have high prestige in eternity. You see, God gave him a position second to Jesus. You see, Moses, like Jesus, led God's people out of captivity with great power. Moses led the Israelites out of physical bondage and slavery in Egypt. And you see, God allowed Jesus, with even greater power, lead his children, his elect, the one who accepted his son, out of spiritual bondage and slavery to sin. You see, you say it now. You said all that, Sister Diane. What you talking about? You see how God do things. Moses could have been killed. God saved him. Moses, God put Moses in a position to learn and be the best and to get all of the knowledge that he could. See, God sends you where he wants you to be. God makes them arrangements. Moses knew his mama could arrange that, so you know it's the hand of God. Then if God wanted to humble himself, God wanted time to speak to him, get him to a quiet place. So he was in Midian shepherding. And you know, when a shepherd take care of his sheep, they usually do it for hours because they have to watch the sheep. They have to protect them. And Moses did that for 40 years, God preparing him to be used. And then he led the children out of Egypt. The story we talk about very often all around the world. Talk about Moses. Talk about Moses. We could see God's hand operating in Moses' life. He used all of those tragic stories, and there's so many, you're going to have to do your homework. The people fought against him. The people talked about him. The people wouldn't listen. You know, they angered him for them 40 years. It wasn't easy. Over 2 million people. But with the help of God, because God told him, I'm going to be with you. Moses was able to do what God had asked him to do. And what Moses did became his story. And God got the glory. You see, Moses' story gives us evidence of how God works in and through his children. And we see how God used Moses' story for his glory. And just like Moses have a story, we all have a story. But it should be our goal that God can use our story for his glory. That's the background for tonight. And we're going into the scripture. I'm in 1 John 9:1. I pray you have your Bibles. This is Bible study. If you go to college and you got a class, you don't go to your class without a book. When you was in school, you had books. You'd have to cover your books and bring your books. You would even get written up if you didn't have your book. Well, this is Bible study. And we study in the book of the Bible. We studying the Bible, the book, the Bible. And you came to Bible study. So I pray you have your Bible. We're in John, the 9th chapter and the 1st verse. And we're going to begin to read from there. And the scripture says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, you know, that's kind of dumb. The act, did the man sin? How you gonna, if he was born blind, when he did sin in his mama's womb? But oh well, says the word of God, and that's the question they asked. Because they had to figure out, you know, where the sin came from. And they figured out that for him, the blind, it was caused by sin. But look what Jesus tell him. Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifested in him. In other words, it was a part of God's plan for the man to be born blind. So at some time, an appointed time, God can use this story for his glory. The man didn't sin. His mother didn't sin. He was born from birth. And Jesus said, neither has this man sinned or nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifested in him, that God can use him to do the miracle where everybody could see the power. You see, miracles are not always performed because of the people, but many times God was showing his power. He was giving out, he was authenticating his son here on earth. He was showing many marvelous works and wonders that Jesus performed. So people could truly believe. God gave the evidence of who Jesus was and what he could do. And yet some don't believe. And Jesus said in verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. In verse 5, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. God allowed this. I told you everything happened. God has allowed or orchestrated. God allowed the man to be born. Orchestrated, really, the man to be born blind so he could manifest his power. Because God created the man. God is in total control. He's omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. And he's sovereign, meaning he could do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, with what he wants. Come on, y'all. You see, these scriptures let us know that everything we see or think is not always about what we think it is. Come on, y'all. I've seen times when a person had a tragedy, and when people find out about it, oh, that happened because when she, you know, was so-and-so, she did so-and-so. They think they got the answer. I just want to tell y'all tonight, God is not sitting down taking score of your own. God does not play tit for tat. Yes, what you sow, you're going to reap, but you may not reap it like sowed it. They'll tell you karma, you know, and different things like that. How many people you know murdered somebody and never was murdered? And God said, whatever a man sowed, he should also reap. And, you know, a person that murdered somebody, maybe not been murdered by the hands of someone else, but there was probably some things in their life that was, you know, problems and things like that. You see, a common belief in the Jewish culture was that calamity or suffering was the result of some great sin. They believed it. That's why when Job's friends went to him, they wanted to know, what did he do? You know what Job told them? He said, yeah, I'm not perfect and I might have sinned, but ain't no sin I did could have brought this much tragedy on me. I say, go, you're right, Job. But people going to always try to say why you never got where you needed to be, you know, because you didn't do A, B, and C. Everything ain't for everybody. You see, but Christ used this man's suffering to teach about faith and to glorify God. You see, we live in a fallen world where all good behavior is not always rewarded and all bad behavior is not always punished. Therefore, innocent people sometimes suffer. When Katrina came, it didn't wet just the house of the unsaved. Understand God in the hand of God, y'all. If God took suffering away whenever we ask, we would only follow him for comfort and convenience, not out of love and devotion. This is what I want you to remember, too. There are many reasons for your many seasons in life. Because in this, we got to remember, it's not our will, but the will of the Father, using everything he created for his glory. And God tell us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there has no temptation. And in this scripture, temptations means trials, tribulation, and adversity. So we could say in this world, they have no trials, tribulation, and adversity taken you but such as common to man. So whatever happens to you, you ain't the first and you won't be the last. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you are able. Can you hold on to that tonight, if nothing else? God is working it out, y'all. But will with the temptation, the trials and tribulations, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Everything ain't going to move out of your life, but he's going to fix it where you could bear it till you get to the next level, to the next season, to the next height, to the next glory. Hallelujah. Jesus shifted the focus in his scripture. Instead of addressing the curse of the man's blindness, he speak of his purpose so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. You see, God has a master plan for our lives before the foundation of the world. I got to tell you again, and I'm going to tell you again, and I'm going to tell you again, and there's nothing that can happen to you that take God by surprise. But you got to believe it. Jeremiah 29:11 says, God said, I know the thought I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Either way, he used it for his glory. You know, when we always say God is working all things out for our good, we should not be concerned with assigned and blame, trying to figure out source of suffering in an individual's life. It's so futile, given our limited understanding, and we can look at the life of Job, because sometimes it's only a test. God allows it for your good. And he uses the stories for his glory. Earlier I talked about Joseph, but I want you to know Joseph was in slavery and Joseph was sold and Joseph became a big man. And the big man who he was hired by made the big man wife told a lie on him. He went to jail for 13 years. He got out of jail with the gift that God had given him to interpret dreams. He became second in command to the king. Joseph was the one that interpreted that God was going to have a famine on the land and there would be no food but in Egypt. And Job did a master plan. You see, we could see Job's stories. His brothers hated him. They was jealous. They threw him in a pit. They sold him into slavery. His story, y'all. But God was with him every step in the way. And Joseph ended up making a way out of no way for his family, and he fed them. He brought them to Egypt, and they had prestige because Joseph was loved. And they lived there in harmony till that king died. And that's how, you know, I started the story before that, how they got in Egypt and Moses had to deliver them. So you tied together. But I was giving you a little bit of Joseph's story, how God gave the glory. And just like Jesus saved the people, Joseph saved his people as well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You see, even if we look at when God allowed the Hebrew boys to enter the fiery furnace, only to be delivered from the fire. They walked out, nothing burned. Not even the smell of smoke was on them. And the king, the pagan king who didn't believe in God, y'all, when he came to look at them burn and he said, turn it up 3 notches. He made them put the fire so hot to when the men who went to put them in there got close. Their clothes caught a fire and they burned to death. That's why they tell you when you dig one ditch, you better dig two because one might be for you. The king threw them in a fire and waited to see them disintegrate. And the more he looked, the more they walked. The more he looked, they kept standing. And he looked a little close. He said, didn't I put 3 in there? He said, but I see 4. And one of them looked like the Son of God. You see, God used it for his glory. A pagan king talking about the Son of God. A pagan king talking about the Son of God. All the people that saw them go in and come out, they began to give God glory. The king even said, I'm going to add their God to the list of our gods. He didn't say, I'm going to make you accept their God, but their God could be listed as a God with our God, a pagan king. That, you know, it's not, that's glory, because he didn't even want them to accept God, but now God would be accepted as a God. They probably put a little G, but God got the glory from their stories. You see, when you suffer a disease, a tragic, a disability, try not to ask why this happened to me. What did I do or did not do to cause this? Instead, ask God to give you strength for the trial and a clear perspective on what's happening. Sometimes I go through bouts and I can't explain it. And I just sit down at the end of the day and I say, okay, God, this got to be a test. And I'm going to do everything I can to pass it. Because 1 and 1 don't be 2. But it's happening in my life. I say, God, is this a test? And I pray I pass it. You see, this man or his parents, that the scriptures that we read, had nothing to do with why he was blind. But God has a reason. And it is now manifested in the season story for God's glory. And I ask that you read the whole chapter. You'll see that the man began to see, and the man was questioned by the gurus of the time who didn't want to believe in Jesus. And they start asking the man, who did this? The man say he's a prophet. You see, he recognized Jesus for who he was. And they kept ragging on the man. And all of the people that was around that knew that man, that had lived in that village or city all them years, they knew he was blind by birth. And rather than saying glory, they begin to say, some of them say it, you've seen it if you read it. I'm not even sure that's the same man. Come on, y'all. So you see, when we think of people saying stupid stuff that just don't make sense, we think it's sometime new. You know, when they had the insurrection, whatever they call it, that happened on January the 6th at the 5th or the 6th at the Capitol, one of the senators got up in a meeting and said he don't understand what everything is about, because that day was like any other day in the Capitol. He stood in front of all of them people on live TV with his family listening. And that's what came out of his mouth. Nothing new under the sun. When them people saw Jesus give sight to this blind man, some of them said, I'm not even sure it's the same person. It looked like him, but that might not even be him, because they couldn't believe the miracle. And some say that was him, but they just couldn't understand. You see, with this lesson, there was no cause or an effect. Here, only the will of the Father. See, that's how big God's will is. I hope you get that. There was no cause and effect. You know, sometimes things happen because of the cause and effect, but there was no cause and effect here. It was only God's will. He was born blind, and all these years later, he was going to allow Jesus to restore his sight for his glory. Look instead for what God can do. Look at what God can do. This is what God wants us to do in every situation of our lives. You see, we have to stop talking to God about how big these problems are and start speaking to God. We have to stop speaking to God about how big these problems are and start speaking to those problems about how big your God is. Hallelujah, y'all. We got to trust him because he knows what's best. You see, God uses every aspect of our lives, all of our life experiences, our failures, our successes, even our achievements, our shortcomings, and our suffering as an occasion for the manifestation of his power, his will, and his purpose. Oh, my mama wasn't such a good mama, but look where you are now. And when your mama didn't do, God was bringing you through. You might have was looking and focusing on a problem and not seeing your success. Oh, you know, it's many things that happen to people that they hold on to. And it's not, they're not the only one. They may just hold on the longest. And everybody's different. You can't say how something that happened to a person supposed to affect them. But when it's all said and done, yesterday is gone. We're living in today. And tomorrow is not promised. God has given all of us ways. To get through those bad experiences. But some people decide to stay stuck in it. They always got to say, oh, what didn't happen? What should have happened? If only they would have did this, I'd have been where? How you know where you was going to be? How many people had a good, solid mom and daddy home in the prison? How many people had the best education and don't have a job? On and on and on. How many children was living in cars and decided to get up every morning and go to school and became the valedictorian? God uses our stories for his glory if we cooperate. And you see, sometimes when we hold on to the junk issues of our lives, God can't bring us to a new place. God's not going to squeeze your hand and knock on your knuckles till you open your hand to release it. You got to do it. Stop looking in the past. And if you're old, You had more time in your own life than your parents had. Scripture describes four types of suffering viewed in the term of cause or purpose. First, suffering as a proving or testing of your faith. God's got to sometimes see what you're working with. Second, suffering meant for improvement and to make you mature for your edification. Some of us got to grow up before God can totally use us. Third, suffering as punishment for sin. You know, that's in there. You cause your own suffering. And fourth, suffering that shows forth God's glory. And as I close tonight, I want you to know that God uses everything he created for his glory and for our good. And yes, the story of your life, if you're still living, is not finished. But God wants to use your story for his glory. But you have to believe it in order to achieve it. And that's our lesson for tonight. Anyone would like to say anything? Anyone would like to add anything? Anyone at all? Minister Paula Cloud, your line is open.
Thank you. I really enjoyed the lesson. And what it brought to light to me is when they asked the blind man, who made him see, he said, this man they called Jesus. He didn't know who he was. And then in verse 17, he said, what this told me is the blind man saw clearly that Jesus was more than just a mere man. While the Pharisees tried to condemn him and say that he wasn't nobody special. So the blind man, though he was physically blind, the Pharisees were physically blind, spiritually blind. And the light that came, that comes when we are saved, is something we never previously had, like the blind man. We too couldn't see until Jesus came into our lives and granted us the light and showed us that we were the light of the world. So this lesson brought out more than I ever saw in it before when I read it, when we broke it down. And I thank God that he chooses different people and he chooses us for his glory. Unlike the Pharisees, they was a little more worried about he healed the man on the Sabbath day. I enjoyed the lesson, and I'm going to reread it again because I got a whole lot out of it. Thank you.
Thank you, my sister, and I see you read the chapter. You know, when I come on for this short time, I can't give it all to you. I bring you to the place. It's up to you. You know, how far you go in the word of God and how fast you get there, it depends on you. You know, I'm only giving information. The Holy Ghost wants information in you to illuminate it for you. And the other thing that I had wanted to mention, but it didn't come to my mind till my sister spoke, was that when the man made the confession that they call him Jesus, and he then said he was a prophet. That was faith. And he believed. And because he believed, he was healed physically. And he was healed spiritually. when they used to heal and say you are whole, mean physical, and a man received his sight and he received salvation. And the Pharisees, like she said it, you know, they wanted to crucify him because he did work on a Sabbath. What is better, to give a blind man sight, y'all friends, y'all neighbor sight, or because he did it on a Sunday? But that's people. But there's nothing new under the sun. Thank you, my sister. And when you guys press the button and the illuminator speak on the word, it bring out the thoughts in someone who heard her and may have given them some more information. That's why the time is allotted for anyone who would like to say, you know, anything. And there's no dumb questions and there's nothing like that. But, you know, it helps. It don't hurt. So thank you, my sister. I wanted to mention that about the physical and the spiritual. And it was in my mind, and I didn't say it at the time, but you brought it to my memory. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Well, if that's it for tonight, we'll have our benediction. And our big benediction from tonight is going to come from 2 Peter 3:18. For it is God that worketh in you. No, that's Philippians 2:13. I'll do that one. It is God that worketh in you to will and to do his good pleasures. Let God work in you. And use all of your stories for his glory. And your stories become your testimony. Come on, y'all. Because you talk about how God brought you through. How God did this and that. That's what gives God the glory. Let God use you. Let him take your stories to a new glory. Let God be glorified and you be edified. And that's our program for tonight. I want each and every one of you to know that I love you so much. I'm always in prayer for you. And I pray, if it's your will and God's desire, that you'll meet us back on next Wednesday night at 8:30. But until then, everybody be blessed. And I pray that the Lord, my God, bless you real good. Good night.